Good morning.
Good morning.
We are back once again to look into the book of Jonah, like where we were last week. We look at Jonah chapter 1, and we read about how Jonah is a type of a sinner on a downward journey. Now, this time we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 2, and see how Jonah fit in. And so we'll read Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish belly and said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me, and out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I cried, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Now we go to Matthew chapter 12, please. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. Verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. And we also read one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. I said, For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Jonah, as we mentioned last week, is a disobedient prophet. He was a disobedient prophet. He was a man who knew the Lord. God called him and commissioned him to be the first missionary to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And for him, being witness how the Ninevites have mistreated his own people, he was reluctant to take the gospel to them. He wanted them to experience God's wrath, basically take vengeance on them. And so Jonah decided in his own mind that he won't go. In fact, if you go to chapter 4, in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, So Jonah prayed, he was angry. At verse 1 it said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. verse 2 says, so he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was in my was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew, or for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. So he knew the Lord would show mercy to the Ninevites, but that was not his intention. And so he said, why should I go and bring them a message for them to receive God's mercy? Because God is a gracious God who would not be speedy to bring judgment upon them. So he will rather run away instead of bringing them the message. So when he finally, chapter 3, when he made it to Nineveh, had a second chance, he just preached judgment. And in fact, the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jonah himself became the sign to the Ninevites. For someone spending 3 days and 3 nights in such an acid-infested belly of the fish, he came out and he would have been obvious. His whole body would just have been, it would be different, to put it mildly, that he was a sign to the Ninevites that, you know, this is what I have experienced and you better repent. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown or will perish. So he knew, but Jonah was a sign. What strike me is that when the people came, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, when the Pharisees and scribes came to him, and of course, they always wanted to trick him or find a way to accuse him. When they came to him and he said, sir, we want to see a sign from you. Well, he had done many signs. He had done so many things that they could have believed. But no, they said, we wanted to see a sign from you. And if I were in the Lord's position, I would have said, well, you want to see a sign from me? What about Isaac? What about Isaac? I mean, Isaac was a type. He represented me. Isaac was a son, was a child of a promise. He was promised before he was born. And the way Isaac lived, everything about him, he represented the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when he went to the Mount Moriah to be offered as a sacrifice. The life of Isaac was amazing, represented the Lord Jesus Christ. But no, he did not refer to him as a sign of his impending judgment, impending sacrifice at Calvary. What about Joseph? What about Joseph? A son who was loved by his father, made him a coat of many colors, and there was a time that the father called him, and being obedient son, he sent him to go and visit his brethren who were looking after the sheep. And on his way, before even he could get there, his brethren planned to seize him and to do him harm. And exactly that was what happened. When he came, they picked him up. They cast him into the pit, basically in a sign of they killed him. They threw him into the pit. They told him to get rid of him. And, of course, he came out from he came out from the pit that they sold him into slavery, and you know the long story. But the Lord did not pick up Joseph as a sign, to give them a sign that they sought for a sign. What about David? David is a great sign of the Lord Jesus Christ. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved by his father. But David, particularly when his father called him and he gave him, when there was a Saul and had his men, the soldiers, campaigning against the Philistines. The father called David and he gave him bread and wine. and give it to him and say, go to your brethren and see how they are doing. And David went. Now you can imagine, he wasn't the rightful king. But here was a father sending David to an enemy, so to speak, with good news. So go bring some refreshment, bread and wine, to your brethren, to Saul and your brethren. And when David came to his brothers, they did not receive him. His brothers said, what do you think? David heard the giant, and he wanted to fight him. And his brother rebuked him. He said, who do you think you are? But he was the one chosen by God to bring down the giant. And that's the same way the Lord Jesus Christ came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Right? And so the Lord, all these men, and there are more, that he could have chose each one of them to represent him as a sign, as an answer to their question, show us a sign. But he did not. He chose Jonah, a disobedient, angry prophet, in contrast. So let's look at it and how Jonah was a sign. As the Lord said, there shall be no sign given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And as Jonah was in 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But then he said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment, and they shall condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. How great was the Lord Jesus Christ? Or how is it, a greater than Jonah is here with you, and standing in front of you, and yet you will not believe. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Jonah. He said, a greater than Jonah is here. The Lord is greater than Jonah in his personality. After all, he's the only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he gave him. So the Lord, being the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and mercy, whereas Jonah had no pity for the lost. The Lord was full of grace and mercy. The Lord Jesus is greater than Jonah in his promptness. The word of the Lord never came to him second time. In Isaiah chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Remember that passage? As you read the holiness and the vision, the question was asked, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Verse 8. And prophetically speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ said, here am I, send me. And his mission was given, I'm sending you to a people who will not hear you, who will not receive you. They have eyes, but they will perceive. They have ears, but will not hear you. But the Lord said, here am I, send me. And he came. The Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Jonah in his preaching. Jonah preached judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he preached love. He preached judgment, but he also preached love. He spoke about love more than anyone else. And when he came, the Bible said the whole world was in darkness. There was no love. There was no the Pharisees dominating at that time. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and all the groups. Particularly the Pharisees, who were just the word Pharisee means separatists. They were separated. They were holy. They devoted themselves to the Old Testament laws, and they knew the law by heart. And so, if you do, you mix one of the law, they grab your throat, just like that. And you record in John chapter 8, a woman was caught in adultery, right? And they show her no mercy. They brought her, but we won't go into details. Those are the kind of the people they were. And they had no mercy. But the Lord came and he preached love. Love one another and so on, but also pre-judgment. But his judgment was with mercy. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, reading the Jerusalem Post, at that time there was something happened to about 18 people that the Tower of Siloam fell on them. And they were thinking that because the tower fell on them because of their sin. And the Lord said, no, they were not, those who perished not because they were worse sinners. I tell you, verse 3, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And then he repeated that, the same thing again in verse 5. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Yes, he spoke about love. He spoke the same one who spoke about the prodigal son and how he was loved and received back. He also said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So you can see he was full of grace, love, mercy. But Jonah had none of those things. He was just a judgment preacher. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was his message. That was his message. So the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Jonah in his preaching. The Lord is greater than Jonah in his patience. Jonah had no patience. He went out and sat down across and was just waiting for God to do something to bring judgment. He had no time, no patience. He wanted it now. He wanted to see the Ninevites perish. The Ninevites were wicked people. If you read history, you study them, they invented the crucifixion. And the Romans pick it up and polish it. So they were, that tells you the kind of people the Ninevites were. The Lord Jesus is greater than Jonah in his pity. He wept. Matthew chapter 23, the Lord sat across, on Olive Mountain, and he looked to Jerusalem and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophet and stoned those who have been sent to you, how often have I longed to, gather you as a hen gather her chicks under her wing, but you are not willing. Behold, I left you, your house has left you desolate, and you shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was the Lord's, his pity. Jonah had no pity. He had no pity for them. He was waiting for judgment to fall upon the wicked Ninevites. Now, if you do a bit of comparison, in chapter 1, Jonah chapter 1, it said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and said, and God, the Lord sent him on a mission. Right? The Lord sent him. The Lord Jesus Christ also was sent by his father. Jonah was disobedient in his call, verse 3. He decided to go the opposite. The Lord was obedient even at the age of 12 when his parents found him in the temple. He was able to tell them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? He was very obedient. He knew his mission, why he was sent. Jonah paid for his own fare. That's a sign of selfishness. Instead of going to the direction that God has sent him, he decided he'd rather pay his own fare and just go the opposite. The Lord Jesus Christ, paid for all of us. We sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I own. Sin have left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That is selflessness. Jonah was selfish, whereas the Lord was selfless. He's a good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. Who a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jonah slept in the ship. Jonah 1:5. And the Lord Jesus also slept in the boat. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38. Jonah stood before the mariners or the seamen for judgment because of his sin and disobedience. The Lord Jesus also stood before the Jews and the Gentiles for judgment for the sins of others. Matthew chapter 26 and in chapter 27. Jonah was a savior to the mariners verse 15, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the whole world. In John chapter 4, verse 42, the woman of Samaria said, the people of the Samaria said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's where we praise this word. A statement is found, the Savior of the world, or this title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in comparison, you can see the Lord Jesus Christ and Jonah. The question the mariners asked Jonah, they asked him several questions. In fact, about 8 questions in succession. They asked him in chapter 1 without waiting for him to give an answer. Because the sea was raging and they wanted a quick answer. And you could read those questions. And the questions they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, they were during his trial, there are some similarities. But one statement that stands out in contrast in Jonah chapter 1, verse 14, where we read is that, therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's sin, for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. But when you think about what this man was saying, they were pleading, they were about to take Jonah, because he said, take me, if you want the raging sea to calm down, you got to take me, and I'm the Savior. And for the men, they just, you could imagine what they were thinking. How are we going to do this? They decided to get rid of the materials in the boat, threw them overboard so that the boat or the ship would be lightened for them. But the more they threw the cargo, the more the sea raged tempestuously. So they decided that, well, we got to do what this man is saying. But before they did it, they begged for mercy. Jonah had told them that he belonged to the great God, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land, right? So before they picked him up, they prayed and pleaded with God. They said, these are godless men. These are men of the world. You know, each one prayed to his own God, his own idol. But here they all come together at a crucial time, and they united their voices. O Lord, we pray. O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. What a contrast. What a contrast in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25. The children of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ standing before them. And what was their cry? Let his blood be on us and our children. Let his blood be upon us and our children. And these are the people that who had the law, who had the prophecies from the Old Testament, who had all the scripture has said the Messiah would be. They knew all the truth. The godless, idolatrous pleaded with God not to charge them with innocent blood. Pilate have said, he's innocent. I have no basis to crucify him. But say, if you let him go, then you are not Caesar's friend. Eventually, Pilate, to give in, to please them, he decided to wash his hands, but he could not wash his conscience. And then they cried out, let his blood be on us and upon our children and our descendants. We are responsible for his death. There were no fear. There were no concern. You can see the contrast between the two. Amazingly, Jonah's preaching brought such convictions upon the people of Nineveh that even the animals were forced to look up to the Lord as if in prayers. Can you imagine? The king of Nineveh tell them, no one should eat. Everyone should be fasting, and not even your animals, the donkeys and sheep and goats and cows and so on. None of them. And it's kind of a little bit comical to think that you force animals to fast. But I think the king had a point. And his official, they had a point. He said, as if you were the king, was saying, Nineveh, the king of Nineveh was saying, do not feed the animals. Let them starve, therefore they might cry out to God. And if you don't feed them, if you don't feed the dogs, the cows, the sheep, and so on for several days and several nights, they will cry out to God. And God will know that we are serious. And that's exactly what happened. Both the people and the animals were no food. And they're all looking up to God, please help us, forgive us, we are sorry. And guess what happened? 120,000 people were saved. And not only that, in chapter 4, it said, and the animals, the Lord said to Jonah, Jonah in chapter 4, verse 11, and the Lord said to Jonah, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock. The Lord heard. He heard and he saved them. Not only the people, but also he was concerned, he saved the animals too. 120,000 people prized their animals, he saved them. Is a God who hear sinners cry and provide salvation. And so we see Jonah prayed from the fish belly. He made a statement here that is sometimes when you read it, you can overlook verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. He said, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. Brought up my life. It sounds like a Jonah is saying, I was dead. You brought me up, you raised me up, resurrection. Jonah possibly died. He said, "You brought my life up, raised me up from resurrection, and it's a sign of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "There shall be no sign given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." But today, telling the story of Jonah is so ridiculous. People find it so ridiculous in the world. How can a person end up in a fish buried for 3 days and 3 nights? They think it's a fable. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you want to see, you want to see a sign, look at the prophet Jonah. And just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in a fish buried, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the house of the earth. And then he goes on to say, as I Jonah prayed from the fish buried, And then he used a word also in, he said, all your waves and billows pass over me. What do we understand that? All your waves and billows pass over me. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he endured 3 hours of darkness on the cross of Calvary, God in his amazing and his infinite wisdom blanketed the whole world. He did not allow any creature to know. Of course, we do not know the depth of our sin, but he blanketed the whole universe in incredible thick darkness. And beginning of that darkness in noon, midday, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, we hear him, my God. First time he ever called him my God. My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? He became a sin object. God praised all our sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, says, for he who knew no sin, verse 21 rather, God made him sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so all the waves, oh, the billows, the angry waves and billows, the judgment that was due to you and me were praised upon him through through that those 3 hours of darkness. And Jonah experienced it to some degree. Now, so these are the language, when you read in chapter 2 here, this is the language of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he experienced in order to set you and I free from our sin. And then you read in Psalm 42 and verse 7, it says, deep calls unto deep, all the noise of your waterfalls, your waves and your billows have gone over me. It's a similar language. David never experienced anything like that, but these are prophetical, we call them prophetical messianic psalms. They're speaking about what the Messiah would endure, his suffering, as we was reading to us this morning, Isaiah chapter 53. And so, and again, I alluded to it earlier on that Jonah sat on the east side of the east side, opposite the city of Nineveh, awaiting the destruction of the city with its inhabitants, Jonah chapter 4 and verse 5. He had no pity or compassion for the well-being. The Lord, on the other hand, the Lord Jesus had a compassion and wept for another city, Jerusalem, Matthew 23 and verse 37. Now, the Lord saved the whole city, over 120,000 people, after Jonah came out from the fish's belly, which is a sign of resurrection. And similarly, the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he said before he went to the cross in John chapter 15, he said to the disciples, "You will do greater works, right, than what I'm doing." And after his resurrection, 3,000 souls were saved in one day. 3,000 souls. Peter preached, and Peter, who had denied him, yet after the Holy Spirit came upon him, empowered him, he stood on the day of Pentecost, and he preached. And how many souls were saved? 3,000 souls saved. And he's still saving sinners today and keeping them. So indeed, if he said to them, a greater than Jonah is here, he's still here today. A greater than Jonah is still here. He's still here, reaching out to people far and near with his message of love, and yet at the same time with judgment and warning. Because Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. They saw him, they saw what happened, and you could not convince them. The Ninevites, they saw Jonah as a sign that if this what happened to this man, and I would imagine that when the fish, God spoke to the fish. The fish was more obedient than the prophet, right? If you want to study the book of Jonah, one thing that you have to keep in mind is God prepared. God prepared. You will meet that statement over and over. God prepared the fish. God prepared the waves and billows to the tempest. God prepared a vine that came and shadowed Jonah. God prepared a worm to eat a vine to teach Jonah a lesson. God prepared a vehement heat to scratch Jonah. And all this that God prepared. God has all the nature to do his bidding. The only one, and all of them were obedient except Jonah, the one made after his own image. And that is true today. God prepared, and so on. So as you go through the book of Jonah, very small, you can just read it at no time, but it's every chapter is full of meaning, and the Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be no sign given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah, a disobedient prophet, angry prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in a fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The Lord, his message to the Pharisees and the scribes was based on his death, burial, and resurrection. And that was the same message the apostles preached, Peter and Paul, and I, they carry on with the message of death, burial, and resurrection. Paul read it. We read it this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great chapter explaining resurrection. It said Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. What scriptures? Jonah. The scripture that, you know, illustrated in the life of Jonah. And the Lord referred to him. And so the greater than Jonah, truly the greater than Jonah is here. The question is, have you believed on him? Have you received him as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you have, you know that indeed he's a true compassionate. As Jonah said, this I knew, that you are a compassionate God, you are slow to anger, and you are, I know in my country that this is why I did not want to go and preach, because once I preach to them, they will listen. And you, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, it says, and you, a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm or bringing judgment. And Jonah knew that God is a merciful God. Now, sometimes when I hear people use the Lord's name in vain, it might be a Hindu, he might be a Muslim, it might be whatever religion, and they use the Lord Jesus Christ's name to swear it in vain. And now sometimes I'll get the attention. Why don't you use your God, your idol? Why don't you use his name in vain and see what will happen to you? And would he show you mercy, loving kindness, love? Nothing. But our God is, he is full of all this. Jonah knew it. And we have a message, to tell people around us about the God of Jonah, who is also the God of resurrection. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the message that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. He could have chosen any of the people that we mentioned earlier on when he was confronted by the scribes and Pharisees who wanted to see a sign. And he said to them, there shall be no sign given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in a fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the hearts of the earth. And then he said, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment, and they shall condemn this generation, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. How grateful we are to know that the Lord Jesus Christ was not kept on the hearts of the earth, but he resurrected just as Jonah was came out 3 days after he spent the darkness in the fish's belly. So the Lord Jesus Christ rose triumphantly, and he was seen by many. And we have come to believe him that indeed he is the Savior of the world. He is the one who have conquered death and darkness and has brought life. And indeed he is a greater than Jonah. And as we go about today and in the week ahead, we do pray to reinforce this message into our minds and our hearts, and able to explain it to people that we come in contact with, that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ is a God of resurrection, and who is greater than Jonah, and who alone can provide salvation and show mercy, kindness, and love, but also warn of judgment. Thank you for our time together this morning. Please partake of your continual blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.